Ladies and fellows, men, welcome back to another episode of the No Script Podcast. It is your boy B-Rack alongside Dan Dutton.
What up?
What's going on, my brother?
Nothing, living, dude. I honestly can't wait till this is back because, I mean, you gave me terrible help, but I got a new mic, so I want to listen to it back because I'll be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about that when you asked me. I was going to say, well, just you should have recorded yourself and just listened to it back, but now you'll be able to use this as feedback. So there you go. Problem solved.
Yeah. So, you know, if I sound better, great. If not, then, you know, it was only a cheap little TikTok mic. So it's all good.
Here we go. So we're coming to you guys the day after the second pair of Elite Eight games on the Women's College Basketball Tournament. So we wanted to get this episode out before the Final Four games were played, before national title games were played. I did not make a bracket for either the men or the women's. I know you had made one for the men's because I think it was work, right?
Yeah. Our work group kind of threw out an email to everybody, like just a free bracket, but I think there's a trophy at stake. So I was like, you know, I'll be honest, I don't really watch college basketball. So I was excited just to throw a bracket together from my limited knowledge and hopefully win the trophy and tell everybody that I pay attention. Bare minimum. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I don't think I have a chance to win it now.
Why would you not have a chance? So what is this point based on? Obviously, if you pick the champion, I'm sure that amounts to something, but everything prior to that, do you get points based of if you pick the right teams that won leading up to the Final Four in the championship game?
Yeah, it was like round one, each correct pick was 10 points.
Okay.
Round two was 20 points, 30 points. Like, so every round, it just was like weighted higher, each correct.
Okay.
And then why I say I don't think I have a chance, I was looking at everybody, like the people that are ahead of me, like their bracket. There's only one person near me that I picked Purdue to win.
Okay.
Everybody else has like UConn, and I'm the only one who picked Purdue, but there's a guy right behind me. We're very close in score. He picked Purdue, but he picked them to play against UConn.
And picked UConn to win?
No, he picked Purdue to win.
Okay, so two of you picked Purdue to win.
Yeah, but he's right below me. But since he picked UConn, he got that extra win, and I think – like, I need UConn to lose, but I think even if UConn loses, he put them there. So I think he's ahead of me just by a little bit.
So how do you come out on top?
I don't think I can at this point.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so like the people ahead of me, I need UConn to lose. And then me and him were close, but, you know, we were the same on like Purdue winning. He was the only one that had Purdue winning with me. That was close. And I went Illinois. Thanks, Zach. Instead of UConn, if I just would have picked UConn, which is what I had originally, I would have been straight. And you know what? I won't blame Zach, but going through my bracket with him, the two games he was like confident on was BYU and Duquesne. I had Duquesne as the upset. And he was like, BYU's going to torch them. And I was like, you know, like technically I wasn't soliciting his advice, right? I was just like going through all my picks. And then these are his reactions. So I was like, oh, damn, that's a strong reaction. Changed my pick. And then I had Illinois and UConn playing, and then I had UConn winning. And, I guess it's my fault for listening to an Illinois fan in general, you know, because he was just like, oh, Illinois is going to beat UConn. Very confident. I was like, really?
All he right. said it like that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember, but yeah, that's what you get when you listen to the homer.
Yeah, so I was like, all right. I was like, damn. I was like, I don't know. I was like, UConn, because UConn's number one. Why do you say it like that? He said something about they having an easy schedule. I was like, okay, well, he would know. I wouldn't. So I was like, okay, let's roll Illinois then. Because I knew everybody was going to pick UConn. As you can see, like, who people's championship picks. I was like, people probably going to pick UConn just because they're number one seed. I don't think there's a ton of basketball people in our group, but. I was one of the outliers that didn't choose UConn. So if it would have went my way, huge. It didn't. So, you know, it's a gamble.
So the was it Duquesne? Duquesne ended up beating BYU by 4, and then you almost could have went with that Illinois pick. I mean, I didn't watch the whole game, but I think I was at, this was at your house, right? When I came over and stopped by. Where
yeah,
they
dude.
Were the first half, it was only a 3-point game. And
yeah.
then I came over and all of a sudden
I was like, yo, like, okay, yeah, 3-point game. Me and my dad are watching the game. I had the kids with me. So we're like entertaining the kids, have the game, you know, looking up and down. And my dad's like, is there score moving? I looked up and it was like, it said 3-point game, but then UConn had like 10 points on it. I was like, yeah, I don't think they're scoring. And then we're playing with the kids. We look up. Now they got 20 points. I'm like, yo, what is happening? I was like, Illinois is not, like, their point's not moving. And then I heard the announcer go, like, Illinois starting to have 1 for 19. I was like, oh my God.
That's right. And, you know, anybody can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think Illinois had the either amongst the team or guard play had the number one scoring offense in the tournament. And to be held 1 for 19 to start the second half is crazy.
And then it got to like the point of like watching them play was like, it was tough. It's like, I don't watch college basketball, so I don't know how they normally play. Right. But it was like during that drought, they were just shooting threes. I didn't see anybody like attacking the basket. Like, okay, we're not getting a bucket. Like, let's get to the rim and get a bucket. They weren't doing that. I just kept seeing threes. And then by the time the lead got like started getting out of hand, then they probably feel like, well, we have to shoot threes now. And they just weren't, they were not falling.
They panicked.
Yeah. And on the other end, UConn was like getting to the bucket, like a 2-point, 2-point, 2-point. They weren't out there like splashing threes left and right to create that lead. They were just scoring.
Right. I haven't watched much college basketball this year, so my guesses are just going to be based off of the limited games that I've seen up to this point. I've seen NC State play a few games. I know their center's a beast. They're calling them what, the baby Gen Zebo?
Zebo, yeah.
They call him Gen Zebo, which is That's crazy. Awesome. He's a big dude. He's a big boy. I think the only, I mean, he's going to match up against Edie when they play Purdue. What is this? This game is going to be the 6th. So that's
Saturday?
Yeah. So I don't think either of those guys necessarily step outside the paint and spread the offense. So it's going to be a 7-foot dude up against a guy that's got to be at least 350.
He got that Zebo build. But I seen what's crazy is that dude's 23.
Which
from
one?
NC State.
Oh, Jen Zebo?
Yeah. And then they show that Anthony Edwards is 22.
That's crazy.
So he's younger than this dude in the Final Four. And Ant's been putting in work in the NBA for a couple years already.
The only other game I saw NC State play was Oakland. And that was in the round of 32. And Oakland, I watched that whole game because they beat Kentucky in the first round. They were kind of that Cinderella story early. And Golkey, I think, was their like hot 3-point shooter.
Oh, yeah.
He was one that was just like NC State did a great job guarding him when they played. But every time he got a chance to put it up, I mean, all of his shots were 3-point attempts. And he was hitting about 40% of them. It was crazy. And I felt like they had an opportunity to win the game because they had the final possession. But I think clock management was very bad. They didn't draw up a great play to get their best player a chance to shoot the ball at the end. So NC State ended up winning in overtime. But I'm picking Purdue to win that between those guys. And I know, like you said, you're picking Purdue to win all the way. Who do you have Purdue playing in the title match?
I had them playing Houston.
I see.
Houston. Obviously, that's not what happened. But I think me and you were watching that game together with like that Golkey. Like they weren't running plays for that dude. Like he was just trying to like work off ball and like he was just catching and chucking. Like we were like, dude, we gotta set some picks for this guy. Like you gotta run plays for him.
I didn't see any screens, any movement. It was more so just Golkey's just out here running around, and if he happens to catch it and has any airspace at all, he was letting it fly. So I feel like if they could have get into an offensive set, get some design plays, some down screens, some dribble handoffs, it would have been good. But I guess it doesn't matter now. So I got Purdue winning that. And then between UConn and Alabama, I mean, after the shellacking they gave Illinois. And we did watch the Alabama game in the Elite Eight when they played Clemson. And I didn't – their guards are very good. I can't remember their starting point guard or shooting guard. He started like 0 for 7 or 0 for 6 from 3. And then those last 4 or 5 minutes, he ended up hitting 6 straight threes. So I don't know if you're going to be able to get away with that against UConn. They have a very good big man. Can't recall any big men that Alabama had. I just see UConn and Purdue playing in this national title game.
Yeah, and I want to say that there hasn't been a team that's gone back-to-back before.
There has It'd not be been a team that's time. Gone back-to-back. But if also, UConn has the opportunity on both the men and the women's side to go 3 times the men and the women's win a national title game in basketball. They did it in 2004. They did in 2014, and now it's 2024. So, a little bit of foreshadowing.
Okay. I know that.
Yep. They're the only. I don't know if they're the only program to do that. The last team that went back to back, I think, was what, Florida, 2006-2007.
Wasn't the UConn girls team back in the day? There was like a stretch of like a few seasons where they were like undefeated every year.
They were like winning everything. But now you got teams like South Carolina, Baylor, LSU now, Iowa, only because of Caitlin Clark, and we'll get into that. But
yeah, so like, man, from girls basketball perspective, like I remember the UConn, like the Huskies, having that run of like winning everything and then nothing. And then now, like Caitlin Clark last year and this year, like blowing up. And just Steph Currying the fucking women's basketball.
I think before we get into the women's stuff, I know you got Purdue winning. I haven't seen any of the guards play for UConn. I know there's good big men on both sides because I got UConn going to play Purdue. I've seen the guard play from Purdue. I'm going to rock with the Boilermakers and – I will say the difference makers, maybe the guards. I think they know how to use their big man. They got great chemistry. Outside game is really good. So, I mean, we'll see. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, and then the people, when we were playing last night, and when I was putting my bracket together, and Don was like, "You got Purdue, man. Purdue's trash. They're not going to win it." Fuck you, buddy. All right.
Yep. Who's got the last laugh now, pal? So the women's side. I think this is the first time, and this is exactly how it should be for the women's game. We talked about this earlier with men's basketball in general. In the 80s, there was tape delay. Basketball was probably at an all-time low as far as viewership until Magic and Bird came around. And then when MJ came around, you had that one marketable person that they pushed that everybody wanted to be, and obviously his play backed it up. And then the NBA took off from there. So now in the women's game, we've seen the Candace Parkers, the Maya Moores, Diana Taurasi, Sue Birds and stuff. But I started peeping Caitlin Clark last year, getting all the way to national title game, and then LSU doing what they've been doing, winning the national title last year and beating Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Super excited for this tournament that's been going on. It's been crazy.
Guys, so watching some of the highlights for that game against LSU, but there were some times where she chucked the three and I was guarding her turnaround. There was like this video where she just like shook her head like, I what am I supposed to do?
Nothing. And I'm going to get into that too because I think they said that they played her more physical last year in the title game, but Caitlin Clark still put 40 on them. So it was a combination of things that we'll get into. So the favorites for the women's bracket, South Carolina, SEC champion. LSU was another favorite because they're defending champions. Iowa solely because of Caitlin Clark. UConn is in there. Paige Beckers, she tore her ACL last year, so she didn't play. The year before, they got to the national title game. And then the year before that, her freshman year, super hyped freshman, got the team to the Final Four. So her being back healthy now, UConn is and you have the all-time coach in Geno. So you got some good teams in there. You got Iowa versus UConn, South Carolina versus NC State. I don't know if I got a chance to watch any NC State games, but I know South Carolina is probably the best collective unit out of the four teams remaining. But me personally, watching what Caitlin Clark did against LSU and basically all season, I want Caitlin Clark to win this whole thing.
Sounds like it's just her and that thing on that team.
That, when I watched them yesterday, so the guards stepped up. One of the female broadcasters basically said the two particular starters, their averages for the season were like 12 points and 6 points against top 20 opponents. And they basically went 2.5 times their points average against LSU. So they stepped up. I mean, Caitlin, from what I saw in the national title game last year to what I saw in the Elite Eight game this year, is still a great shot maker, getting buckets, basically can do whatever she wants. But the facilitation and making the right decisions, crisp passes at the right time, just completely destroyed LSU when I was watching that game. It was crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And I'm not really paying attention to when, like, so she dropped, you know, someone like Caitlin Clark dropping 40. Is she dropping 40 and, like, chucking? Or, like, it's an efficient 40?
It's an efficient 40. She went 9 for 20.
That's good. Okay.
So a little under 50%.
Like 40, but if you're out here shooting 40 times, it's like, who cares?
I think she went 41 points, 7 or 8 rebounds, and 13 assists.
Okay.
And these were dimes. So the thing was, watching the game, my heart wanted Caitlin Clark to win, just because she literally is like the Steph Curry of women's basketball. The way, and she's not just chucking it. She's getting into her bag. She wants to go left and then pull up, get to her spot. So they had Haley Van Lith. She was a starter at Louisville and then transferred to LSU. So I'm like, dang, you got a prevalent starter from a good program to already come to a national title team. And so she didn't have a great offensive tournament. So they figured she's only 5'7". So Caitlin Clark was towering over her. So their philosophy was, let's deny her the ball, smother her, send double teams if a pick is coming. The problem was, they were using whoever Angel Reese was guarding to send the pick. And Angel Reese, she's very physical, very good player, but she doesn't have that movement, that quickness to show aggressively after the screen. So she was sagging off a little bit. And what are you going to do? Like, Haley's been picked. Angel Reese is sagging off. So, all right, Caitlin Clark's, oh, I'm just going to pull it. You're going to give me the space. I'm going to pull it. And then later on in the game, when Angel was showing a little bit more, Caitlin's like, okay, you're going to overshow and, you know, try to cheat the pick. She just dumps it right off to the bait. It's cut into the basket. And it was just easy.
Yeah, I might have to tap in and watch some of these final games, just because it seems like she's out here. Obviously, she's making history that during the season when she capped up with the most points made, and she hit it from that stupid far logo three,
logo,
like in transition, off the dribble. Like, she knew what she was doing too. So it's not like, oh, I just beat the record with that shot. Crazy. She's like, this shot's going to beat it. Like, she knew. And that's cold too.
Been practicing on the whole time.
Yeah, that's cold to like, no, you're going to do it. No, it's this shot. And then, like, it's not like she missed three logo threes and then cashed one finally. Like, she cashed it on the first shot.
Yeah, this is a game I'm definitely watching Friday night. Iowa, UConn, Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers. And there's another girl that is a really good hooper on UConn as well. I can't remember her name. Like I said, I think this is what you want in the women's game, though. Like, you need these big names that you can market. And I told you when I was at the bowling alley yesterday that dudes that were way older than me, basically your dad, our dad's age or older, peeping the game. Like, no one was really watching a women's game like that. But to be tuned into that, and then they weren't even, like, just watching it. They were, like, enamored with the shots that Caitlin Clark was getting off, and they're just like, that is crazy. Crazy how well she can shoot.
So talking about how she's good for, like, women's game, right? I know we talked about this the other day, too. Like, I mean, you see Ice Cube offer her a ton of money to play big three instead of going to the WNBA. Let's say you're her, right? Like,
right.
Do you chase that bag, or do you chase the, like, professional career? Like, because Ice Cube looks at his league as, like, a real league. Like, maybe we view it as, like, more like a fun off season. But, like, he's like, this is a professional league. It's real. Like, come here and play. Take it serious. And I think the players do take it serious, right? But do you think her coming out of college is like, oh, I'm going to go play pro, or I'm going to chase the bag?
I think she can chase the bag. She probably will not make $5 million out the gate. And who knows? Like, is Ice Cube offering that $5 million up front, like right off the rip? Or is that going to be spread out over the course of X amount of years? Me personally, I would much rather, and I told you this earlier, if she does get drafted by Indiana or even Chicago, like Zach said, you know, she's going to get drafted by the Sky. I would love to watch her play. There's probably going to be some growing pains initially trying to adapt to the WNBA speed and physicality, the three-point line, obviously. But she's done enough for me, and there's probably others that would agree that are avid watchers of the game, to go and watch her play. They said that the Final Four tickets have already doubled in price. Indiana Fever tickets have doubled in price, and like, that says enough. I don't want to see her go to the Big Three, because those are ex-hoopers that played in the league, the NBA. Those men, the smallest one that played in the league was probably Nate Robinson. All these other guys are big as hell. Like, you got Reggie Evans. You had Quentin Richardson. You had Amari Stoudemire in there.
Yeah.
What is – and maybe the dudes would go easy on her or whatever. Because, I mean, are you really going to beat the shit out of her? I just don't see it going well for her if she – like, what's the end game? That you don't get – if her goal – I guess it comes down to what's your goal? Are you trying to just make as much money as possible? You don't really care to be regarded as the best WNBA player of all time and win WNBA championships? Because I think for her, that's probably her goal. She wants to get into the league, win MVPs, win titles, and be regarded as one of the best to ever play the game at a professional level.
Yeah, I think as a competitor, that's what she would want to do. She doesn't seem like a bag chaser, but I mean – with that being said, you know, she is going to be the most popular WNBA player. Like, she might not be the best. Like, you're going to have seasoned veterans that it's going to take some time for her to get used to. But she'll be the most popular one. So I still think a team would allow her to play. Hey, you know what? Like, off season, I'm going to go play a season with this Big Three. Just see what it's like. Get that bag, you know? It's a possibility if she wanted it, obviously. That's, you know, it's all up to her. But I was watching Jeff Teague on one of the podcasts he does, and the dude asked him, like, all right, you're owner of a Big Three team. You take Caitlin Clark. He was like, oh, he said, hell yeah, she's available. He's like, we're going to be the most popular team in this moment.
Absolutely.
And it's true. People would want to go see it. But the dude was also saying, whoever he was talking to, he's like, well, there's no, like, 3-on-3, there's no, like, hiding a defensive liability. Like you were just saying, she's tiny. It's 3-on-3. Like, you're not, you can't just, you know, run a zone and, you know, they could easily put her in a situation where,
if they really wanted to bully her,
yeah, she's like, going to get cooked on the other end. But, like, again, ex-NBA players, like, how serious are they taking it? Are they really going to, like, in-season type games, like, attack her like that? I doubt it.
But, yeah, but you never know. It's just, like I said, I would much rather watch her play in the WNBA, and she can probably make her bag through endorsements, whether it be with Nike, Adidas, any type of commercials. I'm sure they're going to market her like how she should be. So there's a lot of good female hoopers out there. There was one comment. I can't remember who had said it, but someone had got upset because someone basically said like, oh, like she looks really good. Like I'll probably watch and stuff like that. Oh, and the clapback was, oh, so you only want to watch her because she looks good. Like, you know, basically over sexualizing her and whatnot.
Oh, so
I think the thing is, now if we flip it around, most females, you have your hardcore football fans that are females. But I would say especially when the Super Bowl comes around, right? Most people, men and women, will watch it. How many, maybe you haven't came across it, but I've came across it. Like, how many women have you came across, they'll watch a sport? Oh, he looks really good. I want him to win. And none of us have any gripe about it. Like, there's been a ton of people like, oh, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, like, he looks really good. I want him to win. Even though they might not necessarily be like, you know, and those guys, yes, they're the best of the best. But they'll champion whoever they think looks good because they're not really knowledgeable of the sport, right? So because women's basketball is on the come up and getting more and more eyes on them, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but do not be surprised if most men tune in and say, oh, I like so-and-so, like, you know, hey, she's very attractive. Oh, and she can hoop, but I don't really know how good her game is. So you just want eyes on the game in general. And then you hope if they take it serious enough, like, okay, I appreciate her more for her game, and I'm not just objectifying her and over-sexualizing her, because that's the lowest of the low. Can't be like that.
That's some weirdos.
There's a bunch of weirdos out there.
Yeah, there's some weirdos. Like if I'm going to watch a women's basketball game, it's because I'm trying to see somebody cook. I'm not trying to be out here and be like, ooh, dang, look at that. You know what I mean? That's weird.
No. I think it's not like that. I think when they turn on and watch the game, oh, okay, basketball game's on. And they're just watching it casually, right? Like, oh, hey, like that such and such looks good. Like, maybe I'll tune in and see how good she really is. Because it's the eye test, you know? Like I said, it's the same thing with men playing in basketball or football. Like, a female might not necessarily know how good said player is, but whatever catches their eye, whether it be like, oh, the throw looks good, or oh, this person takes their helmet off, or oh man, hey, that person is a really attractive individual. Let me tune in and watch. And then, oh, okay, this person's actually somebody. They're really good. So now they're watching them for all the right reasons going forward. There was a comment that Angel Reese made after their loss to Iowa. So I think she was in tears mainly because obviously they're upset they lost. You know, they wanted to be back-to-back champions and stuff. So I don't know what question was asked to prompt this answer, but the quote is, I've been through so much. And she goes on to say, I quote, I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times, death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. All this happened since I won the national championship, and it sucks. But I still wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And basically, end quote. So I think, what do you think when you hear those comments post-game?
I think, like I said, with the women's basketball getting more popular, I think last year or so, it's like I heard about her too through last year for their run and their game against Caitlin Clark. But I don't know. Maybe it was like her. How many? Like, is she a senior, a junior? What is she?
So I think she has a COVID year because I seen her walk for senior night, and like Shaq walked out with her mother as well. So I believe she has until Wednesday or tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern time, to determine if she's going to go to the draft or if she's going to come back for her final year.
So it's probably like she's hooped for a couple of years or like at a higher level. And more like media under the radar, and like it didn't get as much attention. I think now that maybe the attention is coming a lot more. Like as more eyes are on you, you're gonna get those weirdos. They're gonna say weird shit. Those people that are just negative and want to say negative things about anybody for any reason come along with that. So it's probably just an influx of eyes brings the wrong type of eyes. Like,
right.
And so it's like, it's probably just like when they lost, she's emotional. And then it's like, you know, obviously she's been fighting, you know, or holding back, you know, trying to be like a professional because of all those comments, like just trying to let it roll off. But in a moment of like vulnerability, it probably just like all bubbled up. Like, you know what? Yeah, I lost and I'm dealing with all this stuff too. It's not, you know, as easy as people think it is to come out here and hoop on a big stage and have eyes on you all the time, ridiculing you. I mean, like there's certain players that just, I mean, they deal with it. Like we're talking men's sports, like NBA players, right? Football players, and it'll be like their whole career from college on, eyes are on them all the time. You know what I mean? So it's like at that point, it's like, well, for one, you're a dude, get used to it, right? But for maybe sure. It's something new for her. So it's like, this is like the last year or so. Like, damn.
Like, oh, so this is why I say you have to take the good with the bad. I'm not here to determine if it's right or wrong. I'm going to speak on what is. So like you said, with guys, especially the ones that are the high school All-Americans, they know they're going to be the next person to go to the big name college to get to the league, right? You hear stories of LeBron. LeBron says Boston, when he plays in Boston, it's the most racist, hostile crowd he's ever been in.
Mm-hmm.
But as guys, it's like we're not by nature not as emotional as women. It's just biology. It's how it is. So he already knows you can't ride the highs of the praises if you're going to succumb to the lowest of lows and every single negative comment and send backlash. It's just you go in with that expectation knowing that no matter what you do, there's always going to be trolls. There's always going to be haters. So you have to tune it out the best you can.
Yeah.
And there ain't nothing wrong with Angel feeling the way that she feels. She's finally said, you know what? F it. I'm going to tell everybody this is how I feel. And I haven't been happy, like truly happy up to this point since the national title game. And this is what's been bothering me. But I think as she continues to stay in the spotlight and grows her game, I think she'll understand whether it's right or wrong that there's going to be weirdos out there. There's going to be people that just spew hate and talk shit. But then there's also going to be a lot of people that will support you in what you do. And you play for yourself and you play for the people that are ultimately there supporting you. The haters are going to be there no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you just, it is what it is.
Yeah. And you think about like dude sports, even in high school, like they're more popular, right? And you'd have, like, I see TikToks of like these student sections at high school games, like going crazy. Like I see one, they had the opposing team's like best players, like sister picture, like printed out on poster boards. And like some dude was like dating her and like from the other school, like, and there's like pictures of them like kissing and stuff. Like, and they're just front row. Like, I'm like, bro, that's like, what?
That's tough.
Like, so like, you got to deal with that. And like, nobody's going crazy at like the girls' games like that. Like, if anybody, like, the guys are going to support and be supportive of the girls' games, nobody's going there to like talk shit, you know what I mean, in the student section like they do. So it's like, I mean, as a great athlete, you know, I would say men sports definitely have more like banter, trash talk, like scrutiny to start even as a younger age. I mean, I remember watching my brother play basketball in high school, and we're just talking about like a regular season high school game. Like, there's no cameras and like nobody. I guess technically one of the dudes there that he played against went and played ball at Valpo before having like some heart issues, but like he's playing against them, and like that crowd section is like chirping at my brother while he's shooting free throws, like talking shit. And Rob was having a game, so he's talking shit back. So it's like, I don't see that happening in like a high school girls basketball game.
No. And I think they would probably, if someone heard hecklers like that at like a women's event, there'd probably be a little bit more backlash. But they talked about this in Gil's Arena because they have him, Rashad McCants, Brandon Jennings, and then a woman from the WNBA, Lexi Brown. So basically, I don't know if Lexi wasn't exactly failing to understand that, unfortunately, this is part of the life of the athlete, that you're going to have hecklers like this. But whenever you post something on social media, because everything is so accessible now, you can't reply to every single thing, whether it be the nicest of the nice or something that triggers you that you want to comment on. The best thing you can do is either turn the comments off, stay off social media, or you just don't react to the negativity, because as soon as you show that one thing bothered you, you've just opened the floodgate. Now it's just an open invitation for them to keep going. Mm-hmm. They were probably going to keep going regardless anyways. But now that they know that, oh, that's what bothers you, all right, I'm going to keep saying that then, see if I can really get you out of your element. And that's their only sole purpose and goal in life. There is no end game for them doing that. They'll just keep going.
It's just weirdos, bro. That's the only word I think to describe it. The people that act like that. But yeah, you just kind of got to deal with it. And you know, unfortunately, it is what it is. I mean, you just got to, you know, if you're going to be in the spotlight, that's that give and take. You know, saying you're playing sports at a high level, you're getting paid, and you got to deal with the hecklers. It's not technically fair. Like, ain't nobody showing up at my job being like, boo, you fucking suck.
Exactly. Dude, I'll use me for example. I'm just a regular guy in, like, the smallest of towns in Indiana. I bowl in a league where some people that don't even know me will watch me play, but I don't fucking like that guy because he throws two-handed. You know how minute I am compared to all these other athletes? I'm absolutely nothing compared to these people. I still get criticism without even doing anything. So that's amplified times 10. I don't let it bother me. So I can only imagine for the athlete that has to see that 10 to 100 times over and hear it. I think as you grow and stay into the sport, and maybe you have some vets along the way to grab you by the hand and say, hey, you know, this is the unfortunate life of an athlete. It's not right or wrong. That's not up to us to decide or determine, because fans and people are going to do what the hell they want to do. We just have to continue to play and just make the best out of every day and not show that negativity is affecting us. So,
like a famous philosopher once said, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Dude, going back to like men's basketball real quick, I seen a post and I didn't really pay attention to it until now when I was like Googling, but somebody said that this year's draft class is one of the worst draft classes for the NBA in a while.
For the men's?
Yeah. So then,
because there's no, do you know any players? Because I don't.
So I'm looking, okay, I'm looking what they have the mock draft to be, right? This first guy is not even from, he doesn't even play in the U.S. He plays in Perth. So you don't have a college, he's not coming from a big name college. That's the first guy. Second guy, same thing. He's in another country playing. Third guy, who does he play for? We have a Kentucky guy, which his name is, what is this dude from Kentucky? Reed Shepard. They got upset. No, they killed my bracket. So, fuck him. Then we have a G League guy going fourth. Who's this other dude? Somebody from Colorado, Kentucky, again. Another out of country G League. So, out of the top, and then some dude from Duke. Not even the point guard. So, the top 10, you have the dude from Connecticut. So, out of the top 10 players, there's really only, like, I just have one, two guys, three, four.
Better stateside.
Just in college, really, four. So half of the top 10 are not coming from college, which is, like, I guess traditionally where we've seen people come from. But, yeah, they're out of the country. So then, obviously, whoever's saying, like, this is going to be weak, they don't know who the fuck is coming from Perth. Like, they ain't paying attention to that guy. He could be a dog. Ain't nobody gonna know. Obviously, nobody has the hype that like Wimby had coming into this year as a rookie. I'm saying,
and again, he didn't come from a college. He came from overseas.
Yeah, but like he was other guys. Big enough, literally and metaphorically, to have hype coming in. I don't know any of these dudes. And then, so, I mean, realistically, maybe they're not wrong. Maybe this is a weak class, but maybe some of these overseas dudes are going to be good. Or you're always going to have, I think, some dude that, like, nobody expects to be great come in and do good. I mean, it's
right.
You might hate on me for this, and somebody's going to hate on it too. But like, I'm interested to see where Bronny goes. Like, is he going to go or is he going to stay another year? I want to know.
He entered the transfer portal.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's probably staying. He's not projected to be a high, like, I know for the optics and for history, it'd be great if he got drafted. I just haven't heard that many glowing things about his game that would warrant him skill-wise and objectively to be drafted in the NBA.
So I know LeBron speaking at his father. Do you think when he says, like, oh, he could play in the NBA right now, is him have a skew mindset because it's his son? Or do you think he could talk about it objectively and, like, honestly and be like, no, he could play?
I just think he was speaking more of, I mean, who realistically, who's going to shit on their son? Is that going to look good? Even if he spoke honestly.
Like if he was just like, yeah, he'd be a decent bench player. They'd be like, damn, that's crazy.
Like, well, I'm not going to draft this guy high, even if we do get LeBron James, because when you peel back the layers, LeBron's going to be, he'll be 40 to 41 years old by the time that happens, because he's still 39, you know? So those teams that could potentially get Bronny and LeBron, how long, that hype train is not going to last long, a season maybe? And is that enough to profit off of that and ride the hype? I don't think it is.
It depends on where your team's at. If you're just like kind of like a, you know, team trudging along, you might would like a hype year.
I guess it depends on the team. But is LeBron really at his age? I guess you just really have to see what does he value more. I'm sure he would love to win another title. He wants to play with his son. But are you going to play for a dog shit team where you guys can't really compete every night? Like both of them end up going to the Washington Wizards.
I mean, honestly, I would see him going to a dog shit team just to be able to, like, yeah, I play with my son for a year. Like, he's done everything he needs to do for himself. Like, obviously, the team he's on now, you know, I think it's funny because I see somebody who's like, it's great being a Lakers fan because we could be almost out of the playoffs and I still think we're going to win the finals this year. And that team has the potential to win the finals still, even though that they're, like, fucking on the bubble of the play-in. But, yeah. I think, you know, let's say Bronny goes somewhere weak. He's not, obviously, LeBron's not the age to make that weak-ass team a competitor. Like, he's old. He's not trying to day in, day out, you know, give it his, you know, young Cleveland type of effort, right? But I think he would have a coast year, a farewell tour type of year just to go play with his son for a little bit, have some fun. Like, right. Just to do something that hasn't been done.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that too.
I mean, we haven't, honestly, realistically, we haven't seen a decline in his numbers. So it's like, it's not like he's struggling now and he's like just trying to, you know what I'm saying, drag himself through another year waiting for Bronny. You know what I mean?
Right.
His numbers are still up there. He's still playing at a good level. He's not, you know what I'm saying, it's not like he's terrible. So it's like, I mean, he can get a couple more years, man. What if he's waiting? He waits even longer, dude. He plays with Bryce and Bronny, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, that would be pretty crazy.
He might even just start his own team in Vegas, like I keep hearing, and just draft both of them.
Yeah, he's already mentioned on JJ Redick's podcast, owning a team is up there on his list.
Oh, that's JJ Redick's podcast?
It's the combination of them both.
Oh, okay. So it's his and JJ? Okay.
Yeah, him and JJ. So, yeah, I mean, if the men's game is that weak, it is what it is. I think it's a combination between the NIL money that's out there. A lot of these players don't stay as long as they normally do. Like they're one and done type players. A lot of the overseas guys, the money that can be made out now in college, but also outside of college. That's why you see a lot of overseas guys coming over. There could be some high school players that get done with their senior year and they say, well, I could probably make make more playing overseas and still get drafted to the league if I just play for 1 year, as opposed to, you know, playing for a college, getting NIL money and stuff like that. On the women's side, because the game is starting to ramp up a little bit more, you're getting a few more eyes on it. Those primetime players outside of Juju Watkins, that's a freshman for USC, they're juniors and seniors. They're staying all 4 years, you know, and then still getting drafted into the WNBA. So, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into Dave's comments about the women's game being more exciting than the men's right now, because I can go on about that.
Yeah, that's wild.
I think he's a prisoner of the moment. It was fun to watch, but I got some objective reasoning as to why it was a little bit easier to watch last night as opposed to watching maybe an NBA regular season game or the men's Final Four tournament. But I'm gonna leave that for when he's actually on here to defend himself, because I'm curious to hear his reasoning and instead of just speaking based off of emotion. So I'll give him his opportunity.
Yeah, he'll get a chance to speak his piece.
So our final picks, we both have Purdue. I have Purdue beating UConn in the final, and you have Purdue playing who in the final?
Well, my teams are out, so.
Oh, okay, so it doesn't matter.
On the other end, I'm off, because I had Illinois beating UConn, and then Arizona, and Arizona playing Illinois, but it did not happen, so.
Now for the women's, South Carolina versus NC State. They play this Friday at 6, and then we have Iowa versus UConn. They play that same day at 8:30. I am going to go with my heart and what I saw with my own two eyes last night. I'm going to rock with Caitlin Clark. I hope she wins it. But if UConn ends up beating Iowa, then I want UConn to win it.
So the winner of that game?
So basically the winner of that game, I wouldn't mind watching them play or hoist the trophy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to rock with Iowa because that's the only team that I know. And not only because I know one person. But I'm going to rock with them.
Yeah, I think, like I said, watching South Carolina and hearing others speak about them, they probably had the best collective team. Iowa, unless you plan on blitzing that pick and roll and having your most athletic physical defender on Caitlin Clark, you got no chance. So I'm rocking with Caitlin.
And she's in the zone. I mean, I'm pretty sure somebody from LSU said that. Like, you can't stop her. You just got to try to contain her, you know? And that's something that any great player, when they're in the zone, it don't really matter.
It doesn't. It does not. All right, cool. Well, we got our picks in. We'll see if they come to fruition. And we'll rendezvous about this later in the week and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hop on, what do we got here? One of my sports books and just put it all on Iowa right now. So
put it on Iowa and Purdue right now.
Lock it in.
Right on a parlay, dude.
On a parlay. I'm going to lock it in on a parlay. The rest of my tax refund check. And, dude, see what happens.
So hopefully we can get a few more engaging listeners and followers with this. Let us know if you've watched the women's tournament, the men's tournament. Give us your thoughts on the women's game and how it's progressing. What do you want to see? Is marketing of individual players a good thing? And send us your picks on both the men's and women's side if you've been watching. Other than that, it's been the No Script Podcast.
We out. Still screaming. Still scheming.